Awesome that the name of Jesus is just something about that name. Just think about it in your heart and your life. You got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now I want to share with you from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, getting on with the job we have come to do. Getting on with the job we have come to do. Friday, May the 1st, I went by the cemetery to Shady Grove for a few minutes. My daddy had been dead 42 years that day. And as I was visiting with him and Mama, and Charlie and Dale and Willa Ray and family, and thinking about, I remember what my daddy told me on Wednesday before I left coming up here to do prayer meeting. I went by and he was laying in his usual position there. My Uncle Bill from Ocean Springs had just left and he was tired. I'd spent a couple hours together and I knew he was down, and I said, "Daddy, I'm going to prayer meeting and I'll be back in a little while." He said, "Son, you go. You got a job to do. And do what you need to do. I'll be fine." I got here. Richard was waiting to tell me I needed to go back home. And soon after I left, he'd had that massive heart attack that took him away. But I remembered his words as I stood there Friday, and I could hear him say, "Son, you go. You got a job to do." My question to each and every one of us, are we doing our job? Are we doing what the Lord would have us to do? We're preparing to send a group to Peru to carry the gospel to those citizens down there. I've seen a lot of preparation going on, seen a lot of individuals doing different things, everything from raising money to bear the expense of the trip there to gathering the things that are needed to accomplish a mission while you're there. On and on that list goes of those in preparation. But in our hearts and our lives, we're getting all our stuff together, but are we getting ourselves ready for what the Lord will have us to do? Here in the writings of Acts, Saul was wreaking havoc on the land. He was going about persecuting, burning churches, putting people in jail, doing everything he could. He stood there and patted his foot and clapped his hands at the foot of Stephen when they stoned him, and giving his consent to everything that they were doing. And the scripture says, to sum it all up, that Saul just made havoc of the church. I want you to know, in our lives today, there's nothing Satan would love better than to make havoc of our church or any of our churches across the land today. He is to and fro seeking whom he may devour, and he's bragging about it. He is really glad the results that he's having in their lives and what they're doing. But because of all of this havoc that has demonstrated here toward the church and towards the people of God, it's made them necessary to leave from Jerusalem. All a part of God's plan. If you research this deeper, you would find that when they were scattered abroad, the gospel also scattered with them. Wherever they went, whatever they done, they carried the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world down there. All about them. There was a man by the name of Philip. And Philip, when he scattered him, he went to Samaria. And he preached Christ and him crucified unto them. And all those people down in Samaria, the scripture says that in one accord, they gave praise to the name of Jesus. And this Philip's not one of the apostles. He's just a lay person, just like many of you today. You know, but he had a position. He had a job to do. He had something to happen in his heart and his life. And the scripture says that because of the results of what was taking place down there in Samaria, that there was great joy in the land. But something happened there. The scripture says that they sent Peter and John down to see what all this uproar was down in Samaria. Wouldn't it be an awesome thing for people come from far and near to find and hear what's going on in the lives of the church of our association? That we would come together and we would seek the Lord. We would do His will in our hearts and our lives. Stephen has been stoned to death. When all of them scattered, some devout men, to me, when you look at that word devout, it simply means there that they were well educated. They probably knew the understanding of the Greek and the Hebrew and stuff. And they went in and brought the body of Stephen out and gave him a good Christian burial. That's the last thing they could do for Stephen. Then the scripture says, after burial of Stephen, the scripture says they began to go on with the job they had to do. And I want you to begin reading with me in verse 8. It said, there was great joy in that city. Samaria was tickled over the results of the good news of Jesus Christ. All the people that got saved, all the people that's going to be baptized and think great joy in their lives. But why does they always have to be a but in things, you know? But there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. This Simon here is not Simon that's later going to be Peter. This Simon here is a demon, I believe. A lot of the commentaries I study out of and things seem to agree on one thing, that he was probably like a fallen angel, booted out of heaven for some of the deceit and wrong that he was doing in his heart and his life. And he was carrying that practice on with his people down there in Samaria. And he had them in a trance. The scripture says he used sorcery. He bewitched the people and given out that he was some great one. If you wanted to break that down even further, he bewitched them and tried to get them to think that he was the promised Messiah, when he was nothing but a thief and a liar and doing wrong. Verse 10 says, to whom they all gave heed. They're listening to this man, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've been looking for. He had them really snowed in under, didn't he? They were believing him to be something that he wasn't near about. Verse 11 says, and to him they had regard. They were listening to him. How many times have I told you, be careful who your friends are? Be careful who you listen to. You know, make sure what they're peddling is the real deal in their hearts. They had regard because out of a long time, he had bewitched them with sorceries or trickeries or magic or whatever you want to call it. And they seen him doing these sorts of things in their presence. And it just, they didn't have anything else to believe in. Now to you that are going on the trip, I want to say this to you. Very sincerely, you know. You don't know what they're going to be taught or thought or anything else. You must be prepared for the unexpected. When you're called upon to question about your beliefs and what you stand for, who you stand on. What do we sing about? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All others is what? Shifting sand. That's right. You need to know. You need to prepare your heart. You know, yes, we can give out trinkets at Bible school. Yes, we can do this. And yes, we can do that and things. But are we prepared to face them when their person that they've been listening to has prepared them in one way, and you coming with another way? That's what's happening here. Simon was on one side of the fence, and Philip was on the other side of the fence. And they were both proclaiming a message. But Simon had for months or years been able to trick them with his sorceries, his trickery, the scripture says. All right, Philip, in verse 12, it said, when they believed Philip and his preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they did what? Believed. First step in you and I being saved is to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. That he came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, buried in a barred tomb, rose 40 days later, sitting on the right hand of the Father. When they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then, hallelujah, watch what happens here. Then Simon himself, the old devil, believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He believed, he was baptized, he stayed with Philip, and what happened? Man, I don't know, how did he do that? How did he make that lame man to walk? How did he do all these things that he done? Simon still was the old Simon, but the new Simon, they were in war against one another in his being. Now think about it. The whole time that he had him under his spell and the trickery of his life, he was getting money, you know, and money's the root of all evil, you know, the love of money. And as he's watching, this is Larry Haver thinking, so I won't charge you for it, but I want to tell you what I think. I think as he watched and saw Philip as he worked in their midst, he got to thinking, if I knew how to do that, or if I knew how to do this, or if I could whatever, man, he'd been used to doing what? Making the money, but now who was it telling this new convert here, all right, you can do that. You can follow him, learn his tricks, do them yourself, make your own. But Philip was teaching what? Repentance, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, things that were mattering in their lives. Let's see what happens here. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, there's a revival going on down there. People were being saved. Souls were being baptized. They received the word of God that they sent unto them Peter and John. Y'all go down there and see what in the world is going on. The reports are it's an awesome movement of the Lord in Samaria. When they were come down in verse 15, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now pay attention with me for a few minutes, okay? The scripture says that when Peter and John came down, they prayed for them. They prayed a specific prayer for them. The prayer they prayed for them was that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit would come upon them and their hearts and lives. They had received Christ. They had been baptized. But as of yet, and later in a couple of chapters over in Acts, all would receive the Holy Ghost. But the scripture says that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The greatest thing you can take to Peru with you is the presence of the Holy Spirit alive and well in your heart and your life. The best thing that we can have that stay behind is the presence of that Holy Spirit in our lives so we can pray and support you. Without the Spirit of God, it's going to be a good trip. But the results won't be what they need to be without the Lord. We need to know that the Spirit of God is alive and well and on this trip with us. Whether we stay or whether we go, the scripture says they prayed that they would receive the Holy Ghost. For he as yet was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to talk with Brian this afternoon about something the Lord has laid upon my heart. If Brother Walter is able to come, our area missionary, Sunday before y'all leave to go, we're going to have a commissioning service to send you off in the name of the Lord and Bexley Baptist Church with a commission to carry that gospel to that lost and dying world. And then us who remain and are left, a commission to support you in our prayers and cares of our hearts and our lives. But it's not just a commissioning service for show because that's what we ought to do. It's a commissioning service saying to you in your heart and your life, may God go with you through the presence and power of that Holy Spirit. Listen what happened here. Verse 17 says, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. See, they had that commissioning service there. Laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, oh Lord, watch what he does, verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. All Simon was interested in was what? Power, money, authority, people looking up to me, caring about. Folks, if we're going to put on a show, we better stay home, you know? If we're going to take God and the pretense of using his presence and power in our lives to accomplish things, it won't work. It's all about him. It's not about us. Saying, give me also this power. Bless his heart, he couldn't help it. For years of his life, what had he done? Ever since I believe he was booted out of heaven, as one of God's angels that he had to get rid of. He attacked the Christian church. He done everything he could. He had Samaria by the hair of the head. And he was leading them around, and they were following him and believing him and doing whatever he said do, all in the name of whoever he was trusting in. But when he met the Lord, what happened? Couldn't argue with God, could he? We get the presence of the Lord in our hearts and our lives. Don't you think that the old devil ain't paying attention? And I suggest to you, I don't know how many airplane tickets you bought, but you might need one more, because Satan's going to try to get on that plane with you. And he's going to try to stop you before you ever get started in your heart and your life. Doing what they wanted to do. Give me this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. You know, that would have been an awesome thing if he was doing it in the right manner, wouldn't it? You know, if he was saying within himself, you know, that give me this so I can lead other people to Jesus. It would have been a wonderful thing. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He said, your money, let it perish with thee. He said, if you'll just tell me what it costs, I'll pay you for it. I want this power. I want this skill. I want this trickery. I want this in my bag of the do's and don'ts. I want to be able to do these things. But Peter just spoke right up to him and told him right to his face, there, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. All right, we know what Simon thought. I want to ask you a question, especially to the church and those that's going on the trip, to two different groups here. What are you expecting? What are you wanting to achieve in this trip that we're about to send you on in your life? Church, what do we expect from it? Oh, I hope they get down there and everything goes good, and they have a good time, and they get home safely, you know, and stuff. You know, and all that's good stuff. I want them all to come back too. But what have we accomplished? Old Peter told Simon, said, your money perish with thee. You know, our efforts without the Lord commissioning us and anointing us and preparing us, it will perish with us too. Because I thought the gift of God could be whatever you. It's only one way, and it's God's way. Care of that gospel to them. Listen what Peter told him. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Whoo, there's a lot said in that sentence, isn't it? Peter said unto him, right straight up to his face, knowing him to be the demon that he is, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. How in the world can we accomplish anything if our hearts is not right with God? First things first, before we ever move in the direction we feel the Lord would want us to go, first checkup we have to make is what? Our hearts. Experiencing what I've watched, you know, first things that's happened since the mention of this trip is for those that are committed to go to make that commitment known to Brian and start preparing themselves. And if you don't have an up-to-date passport, you've got to get you a passport. If you don't have this, you've got to do this. This is what you're going to need. And I've just watched Kim put her stuff together that she needs for the trip and stuff. And thinking in myself, you know, We're putting all these efforts into this, but if we had our hearts checked, and I don't mean by a cardiologist, I mean between you and God. Church, is our hearts checked? Are we truly going to share with them and support them and pray for them as they're gone? Because they've gone in the name of Bexley Baptist Church, commissioned by God Himself to do the things. If you got a heart problem, He gave us an answer. Listen what He said. I'll close. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray to God, if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. If your heart's not right, you don't need a surgeon. You don't need a catheterization. You don't need a pill to swallow. And don't need what did He say do? Pray to God. He said here, if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness. Pray to God that the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Why did Peter tell him that? He saw something in Simon. Did you catch what he saw? Look at what verse 23 says. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Peter saw something he didn't like in Simon. Even after being saved, even after being baptized, even after witnessing the laying on of the hands, the anointing of the Holy Ghost on his heart and life, Peter still saw something. He said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He hadn't turned loose some things. What was Simon still holding on to? When he saw Peter lay hands on those folks and the Holy Ghost come, immediately he said, what? What would it cost me? Give me that power. What was the gall of bitterment in the sin that he was harboring in his life? He still wanted that power that he had when he had all of Samaria eaten out of the palm of his hand. Didn't he? And then finally, in verse 24, then answered Simon and said, Peter, will you pray to the Lord for me? Simon couldn't even pray for himself. Couldn't even pray for himself. He said, would you pray for the Lord for me that none of those things which you have spoken would come upon me? He didn't want the wrath of God upon him. Ain't but one way to say it, I guess, and that's just say it. But if you can't pray for yourself, would you ask somebody to pray for you? If your prayer life is so weak that you can't pray for yourself, would you pray, ask for someone? Ain't nothing like having a prayer partner. Somebody that you can go to at any time, day or night, and know. And I've had some good ones. Miss Dee Dee Baxter, Miss Orel Rouse. I can just keep going with folks. That when push come to shove, I knew they were praying for me. When we find ourselves in a nine-line bind, you get there and you wonder, what are you going to do? How going to do? What's the purpose in going? To share who? So you need to be more strengthening your prayer life, strengthening your understanding of the Word, so that when God speaks, you can answer what He would have you to do. Would you pray with me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Yes, Lord, we'll bring them and we'll line them up here and we'll commission them to go into Peru. But God, they don't need to go without you. My prayer, my hope, my aim is we as a church family will seek out and pray for each and every one of them. And they will pray for us that as they carry the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be in control. Fruit will be produced. And your name will be glorified. Speak to our hearts. Lord, for those that need a prayer partner, I would that you'd lay someone on their heart that could just simply go and say, I'd like for you to be my prayer partner. I need somebody that I can go to and just let them know to be praying for me. There's power in the power of prayer. Search our hearts, God, if there's a need. These altars are open. We may all need to come to the altar this morning and repent and ask you, Lord, to renew a right relationship with us so that the Spirit of God will be in alive and well in our hearts and our lives again. Whatever we need to do in the quietness and the stillness of the next few moments, as we sing a verse of this invitation, would you speak to our hearts and let us know we need to come just as we are to do what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing?